Okay, good morning, everybody. We'll make a start. Thank you all for coming. It's a busy Erev Chag. People have already told me they need to go home and cook. I'm going to get on with it as quickly as I can. The Shirim are sponsored today by Daniel ben David in the Schut, rather, Le'ilu Nishmot, Daniel ben David and Limud bat Avram Strauss, Mordechai ben Moshe and Reisel bat Yosef Meir Marcus. Zichron Libracha, these are the parents of Judy and Menachem Marcus. We are very grateful for that sponsorship. And my shiur today is sponsored for the academic year, Le'ilu Nishmois Branabas Brandit and Zelig Ben Kalman Aleim Shalom. So thank you for all that sponsorship. If I could remind you please to turn off your phones, which will be great. Okay, today we're going to have a really fun shiur, I think. We're going to look at a topic that we haven't looked at for a very long time, since I think 2015. Which someone here will remember, but we've added some extra sources in, and I even wanted to add some more, and it's possible that I may do a revised source sheet to go online with a few bonus sources as well. I want to look at the issue of Hayashar Vahatov, which is a halachic obligation, maybe, we'll see. It's certainly an obligation to work out when it's the right thing to do, we'll talk about that. And it's also a mitzvah in the Torah. Let's start with the mitzvah. Number one, Va'asita ha'yashar v'hatov be'inei Hashem. The Torah says in Devarim we have to do the straight thing, we have to do the good thing in God's eyes, and midah keneged midah, lema'an yitzev lach. So that it'll be good for you. You do good, you get good. Uvata yirashta es ha'aretz ha'tov v'ashem nishba Hashem levotecha. So we have this mitzvah to think, what does it mean to do the safe, to the hayashar v'hatov? Now, the word yashar is used many times in Tanakh. It means obviously straight and just. But there is something called sefer hayashar, which is a bit of an enigma. What exactly is sefer hayashar, the book of the just? Interestingly, if you switch the words around, it's sefer hashir. Could be a sort of book of poetry or a collection of poetry. Let's have a look here in one place where it's mentioned, and I'll mention a couple of others. The famous case where Yeshua is fighting in Givon and the sun stands still. It says, but number two, Vayidama Shemesh, and the sun was silent, it stood, Vayirech Amad, and the moon stood, Agikam Goyevav, until they were able to take their revenge. Halohik Tuvah, Sefer HaYashar. Isn't it written in the Sefer HaYashar? Vayamod HaShemesh V'chatzi HaShemayim V'lo Atzlavo Kayom Tamim. Sounds like it's a quote from the Sefer HaYashar. Ah, okay, I could always... Yes, fine, no problem. I could talk quite more quietly as well. Similarly, I didn't put it here, but you could just put it up a bit more, because otherwise I'll start shouting. Similarly, in the Sefer Shmuel Bet, where David is giving a lament for Shaul and Yonatan. So there also, I didn't bring you the pasuk, it says, Hineik tuva al Sefer HaYashar. He quotes from the Sefer HaYashar, and there are some academic thinkers that also the song of Shlomo, when he inaugurates the Beit HaMikdash in Malachim Aleph chapter Chet, is also, if you look at the Greek translation, it talks about the book of poems, the book of songs. So it's maybe some kind of an ancient book that they had, which was Sefer HaYashar, that also finds its way into the Tanakh. And the Chazal have another read of this, and I want to show you a couple of these right now. Number three. My Sefer HaYashar, says the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Amrim Chiyabar Ama Amrim Yochanan. Ze Sefer Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov. We're talking about Brachos. Shenikru Yishar and Shenemar, and he quotes Bilam, coming up in a parsha very soon. Tamot Nafshi Mot Yisharim. Bilam says, I want to die the death of the Yisharim. Who are the Yisharim? Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And therefore, according to this reason, the Sefer Breshit is the book in which this quote about the sun stopping is taken from. Where in Sefer Breshit are you going to find a pasuk relating to the sun and the moon doing what they're told by Yoshua? The Abarbanel says, in the dream of Yosef. When Yosef says that the sun and the moon were subordinate to me, so Yoshua, of course, was a descendant of Yosef. So he says that's where you'll find it, and therefore Sefer Breishis is Sefer HaYashar. And I brought you the pasuk from Bilam in number four, Mimanafa Yaakov Mispa Etrav Yisrael Tabot Nafshimot Yisharim. So these words, Tamot Nafshi Mota Yeshirim, I couldn't resist, I brought you from the Balaturim, who loves his Ramazim and his Gematrias, and he brings here a Sofei Tevis, not a Roshi Tevis, but take the last letter of each word. Look at number five, the Gematria. First of all, he says Yesharim as the Gematria, Avos Ha'olam. Again, I said this before, but I think back in the day, they just used to look at words and see numbers. And senses is like we, I don't know, see patterns or different things. They didn't sit there working it out, like 3 plus 6 plus 9. Plus, I don't think they did that. I think they just saw the numbers. Because so, who would have thought of that? Sofei Tevis Shel Shmois. And if you look at the end of the Shmois Ha'avos, Avraham with a mem, Yitzchak with a kuf, and Yaakov with a bet, with Gematria Bilam. It has the Gematria of Bilam, and that's why he says, Zehu Vatihi Acharati Kamahu. I want my end to be like their end letters, which are the same Gematria as Bilam. Brilliant, very interesting if you like that kind of thing. According to another alternative understanding, number six, my Sefer Yashar, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Zeh Sefer Mishneh Torah. Maybe this is Sefer Dvarim. Why is Sefer Devarim called Sefer Yashar? Because it says Va'asita Hayashar V'Hatoiv. It also says Va'asita Hatoiv V'Hayashar, which we'll get to in a minute. And the Abar Ben-El struggles a little bit to find a pasuk in Devarim which talks about the sun and the moon stopping, like Sefer Yoshua says. But he quotes from the Zeis Bracha, where it says Ein Be'El Yishurun Reichev Shamayim. Okay. Meaning the idea of God is Rochev Shamayim, God is in charge of the heavens, of the Shachakim. And it also uses the word Yishurun. Yishurun is also probably, it's the same as Yashar. So in that sense, Sefer HaYashar could also mean the book of God. And God, of course, is called Yashar. Sadiq VaYashar. So there's lots of ways of looking at Sefer HaYashar, what that could be. And the Torah Tamimah brings in number seven, you can listen in your own time, that the root of this is V'ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha. Because the whole of Judaism at the end of the day rests on the pillar of V'ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha. We saw that a couple of shiurim ago. And therefore this idea of Asita Yashar V'Hatoiv is also the basis for the entire Torah. And the opposite of Hayashar V'Hatov, I brought you at the bottom of number 8, we see this in Sefer Shoftim. Lois asim kachal asher anachnu asim payom. Don't do what people do today. Ish kol Hayashar Be'einav. Hayashar Be'einav. The opposite of Yashar V'Hatov, Yashar Be'einav Hashem is Hayashar Be'einav. You do whatever you want to do, which we see in Shoftim as well in number 9. V'yamim ha'im 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 melech Yisrael ish Hayashar Be'einav Ya'aseh. The Ashrit goes a little bit further, also, which is very important when we get into examples of this. In number 10, V'loshiti midas chasidatecha le'enei haro'im. Interesting. Don't be a chasid so that everyone else can see. V'loi bekerib libcha. And don't be a chasid just in your mind. I'd love to be a chasid. So don't just be a hidden chasid in your mind. Don't be a chasid in public so everyone says, psh. Yeah, what a chasid. Do it, be a chassid, act on it, but do it privately. But sniut. God sees what's going on when there's nobody else there. It's an interesting idea that the thousands of tiny chassadim that a person does when nobody else knows about it, that's this mitzvah, which is actually quite exciting in many ways, that's also very much clocking up, please God, all those little things that we do that no one ever recognizes, but that's Hayashar V'Hatov. Okay, now I'm going to look at 4 or 5 specific applications of what does it mean, V'Asita Hayashar V'Hatov. So the first thing I want to look at is the idea of meta halacha, meaning that there are certain halachot, certain mitzvot, which are more than just specific mitzvot. Their entire hashkafot, if you like, their entire philosophies within the halachic system. They go beyond specific halacha. And this is, we'll see in a minute, the Ramban, quite a well-known approach of the Ramban. Let's start with Rashi that the Ramban's going to quote. Number 11, Hayashar V'Hatov, Zo Pshara. This is the idea of compromise. We'll see what that is in courts, reaching a compromise. And Lifnim Mishurat Hadin, which we'll have to translate quite carefully, which we normally translate as going beyond the letter of the law, but the word lifnim doesn't really mean beyond. It means before or within. Beyond is me'eva or me'al. So we'll see what lifnei mishurat hadin means. So the Ramban quotes Rashi, and he develops from this a very big principle, which is that, and we all know this, that there are times when even though the halakha says something is permitted, it's not the right thing to do. In the words of Rav Soloveitchik, the halacha is a floor, is a ceiling, not a floor. The other way. Halacha is the floor, not the ceiling. Meaning halacha is the beginning. Halacha is the basic obligation. But it may be that what really is required in this situation is beyond the halacha. Halacha is not the answer as to what you actually should do. So what you can do, what you should do, may not be the same things. Have a look at these two Rambans with me, and he'll allude to a third, which we'll just mention. Number 12. He quotes the Midrash here, the Rashi quotes, Amru Zop Shara. This is the idea of compromise. The Hakavana Bazeh. What does this mean? So this is in Bein Adam L'Chaveru, in Dvarim here. The Torah gives you all sorts of specific laws. Do this, do this, do this, do this. The Atar, and now, Yom HaGamba Asher Lo Tzivcha. Now it tells you, even when there is no specific halachic detail telling you, you can't look it up in the Mishnah Berurah, Ten Datcha, use your Seichel. And do the right thing in God's eyes. That's what God wants of you. But this is a very important idea. He gives a very important point. Some people feel that halacha has to cover everything. And halacha does cover everything, but the specifics of halacha can't cover everything. You can't look everything up in a book. Even though we have millions of books, now Baruch Hashem, I don't know if it's unbelievably good or somewhat disturbing, we have thousands of pages of books on every area of halacha. My wife always jokes that when she was bas mitzvah, she got books like they were about 100 pages long, that all you need to know about Judaism, in 100 pages. Many years ago, I bought a book in Meir Sha'arim, 1,000 pages, close Hebrew type, on the halachas of saying hello and goodbye. So on the one hand, I'm just in awe of this young man who Kolel, who's written 1,000 pages of the halachas, are saying it's very interesting. The book costs very little. On the other hand, I'm like, really? There are 1,000 pages to learn how to say hello and goodbye, maybe? Says the Ramban, you can't write everything down. One second. The way you work with your neighbors, re'av, how you conduct your social life, kol masa matna, every detail in business. Sure, there are halachas of business. You can't write everything down. V'tikunei ha'yishuv, your political, social, sociology, u'medininos kulam, in the whole of the country, the politics. How do you decide on who to vote for? If you have Das Torah, then it's easy. You just vote for whoever your Rav tells you to vote for. But you have to make decisions. The Torah gives you many specifics. Don't go bearing tales about people. Don't take revenge. Don't take grudge. Don't stand by when people need help. Don't curse the deaf. Get up in front of the elderly. Etc., etc., etc. You've had a whole list of specific mitzvot. Now, the Torah gives you a general mitzvah. The Ramban is saying a very important thing, which is every time we learn a specific halacha or a specific mitzvah, we should be learning on two levels. What are the details of this mitzvah? And what is the spirit of this mitzvah? What kind of a person is this telling me to become? What does it mean to be a Torah-oriented Jew? This is very Soloveitchikian in a way, in the sense that Rav Soloveitchik says the philosophy of Judaism comes from the halacha. The last line of the halachic mind, which was, that wasn't the original name of the book, but that's not for now, which says that if we're going to look for a philosophy of halacha, don't look in the Greeks and don't look in the Kabbalah, look in the halacha. And he's saying a similar idea, which is that the halacha teaches the spirit of the law, and that gives you the Weltanschauung, the general approach to what it is to be a Jew. So then when there's a question that you have and you can't look it up anywhere, you get the right answer because you're just intuitively in a Torah mindset. That's with Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. More famously, even with Bein Adam L'Makom, number 13. Daber Kol Adad Bnei Yisrael, V'Amata Alem Kadoshim Tiyu. I'll do this quickly because you know this already. Ki Kadosh, Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem Elokeichem. You be Kadosh, whatever Kadosh means. Holy, sanctified, special, detached, whatever that means. Because I am. Number 14, Va'ini Ki HaTorah Hizhira Ba'arayas. The Torah, first of all, in Vayikra tells us sexual prohibitions. And the food you can't eat. But it allows a man and a wife to have a sexual relationship. And it says, if you want, you can eat meat, just make sure it's kosher. You can drink wine, just make sure it's kosher. In Cain, if that's the case, yimsa bal hataiva, someone who's a real bal taiva, they can't give in, they can't resist their taivas, their lusts. He could have multiple wives, or even he could have one wife, but he treats her like a sexual object to indulge himself. He becomes a glutton, he's a fresser, a meat fresser, and a wine drinker. And he speaks in a vulgar way, but he always manages to avoid a technical prohibition. And he'll always say, what's your problem? Technically, this wine is mahadrin, mina mahadrin, min mahadrin. I wouldn't touch hetzer mechira. Oh, no. I drink only the most mahadrin wine. I'm not making a statement about hetzer mechira, just so that you know. But he gets drunk. He acts like a drunkard. And he eats meat, which is I only eat this heksher. But he eats it like gluttonous. So, and your wife, my wife only uses the best mikveh, I married the most miyuchas woman in the world. Yeah, but how do you treat her? Says the Ramban, this is the problem. And he famously phrases the words, V'hine yiyeh naval b'rishut ha-Torah. This person is a lowlife. He's a disgusting person, but within the letter of the law. Now he says a very similar thing. After the Torah has given us many specifics, in Vayikra, and then it gives a general principle. That we should pull back minamosus from things which are technically permitted. I don't need every bottle of wine or every piece of meat. This is the way the Torah teaches. Lifrot v'lichlal. Pratul klal. It's also brilliant. Pratul klal. It's not just some highly technical way in which the rules of drash work, and you think like, what's what prat or klal or klal or prat? He says, no, that's the Derech HaTorah. It gives you specifics and expects you to extrapolate the spirit to get to a new idea which goes beyond the actual law. This also sounds a little bit brisker to me as well, in terms of the longness. You take certain details and you look at the difference between them and you conceptualize them and you abstract them into an underlying philosophical machloikas and you get a bigger idea coming out of the little specifics. This is all here rooted in this Ramban. And then he says at the end, good, you have to do the right and the good. So too with Shabbat. Asar malachot, the Torah prohibits malachot, balav, okay? But the things which are not technically malachot, but which are just not Shabbastic, there's a general mitzvah, tishbot. And therefore, you can't just turn around and say, and I get this question a lot when I hear this question from my young students, and they stick up their hand and they say, technically, I know what's coming. You know what's coming. Technically is almost always a shaila in Hilchos Shabbos, meaning I can engineer a way that my friend will take the ticket to the game and I'll come and I'll go through the door when it's already open and I'll go, and the answer is, yeah, you found a way of avoiding the malachot. But what about the mitzvahs aser, tishbot? Shabbos has to be Shabbostic. Now, we think Shabbostic is just like an annoying thing that the rabbis say to stop you having fun on Shabbos, yeah? It's not Shabbostic. No, because it's a mitzvah to make a Shabbos. How do you do that? It's not as detailed. What Shabbastik for this person in this community may be different for that community. Can you play football in the park if there's an Eruv? Some communities, they'll say, that's a busha. Some communities will say, it's beautiful. The kids can be together on Shabbos and play tennis and play football. It depends on, again, I'm not getting into whether you can kick a ball on the grass on Shabbos. But you can find technical ways. Also, they ask that question, my female students, usually, when they're asking about something to do with Shomer Negiah. Technically, if my boyfriend wears gloves and he teaches my pat with a shinui, I get those kind of questions all the time.
come on, you know that what you're about to ask is certainly not appropriate or within the spirit of the law. You've just found a way to work it out. And I brought you here a source which I don't normally bring, Rabbi Yishael Shapiro, the Admor HaChalutz. The Admor HaChalutz was the bottom of page 2 here, was the brother of the Piazetzna Rebbe, Hashem Yekum Damo, who was the Eish Kodesh, and a very important figure in the world of religious Zionism here in the land of Israel in the 20s. His Yortzeit actually is tonight. I checked this morning. The Admor HaChalutz, his Yortzeit is Erev Shavuos. He died in 1945. And he says at the bottom in number 15, the injunction, you shall be holy, implies that the letter of the law must not be strictly adhered to. Rather, as the Ramban phrases it, we shall follow the intention of the Torah. Whoever wishes to achieve a perfect observance of the Torah cannot be satisfied with adhering to its explicit rulings. I should have brought this in Hebrew, really. It doesn't matter. I quoted from the English Nachama Leibowitz. He must penetrate deeper in order to arrive at the ultimate aim of these rulings. He must not only think of that which is good and right in his own eyes, but that which is the right and the good in God's eyes. It would seem that the latter injunction added by the Torah to its list of rulings is superfluous, since all divine precepts are designed to show mankind the correct way of thinking. However, there are many things which are permitted by the letter of the law and are only forbidden because of the requirement to do the right and the good in God's eyes. Many things. Many things. Regarding the seizing of property for a debt, which we'll see in a minute, our rabbi stated the law doesn't demand the return of such property, but it is to be returned in accordance with the injunction of do the right and the good. This special injunction demonstrates that Judaism is not satisfied with limiting active evil doing. It aspires to eradicate potential evil from the soul of man. Okay, very important point. And Rav Lichtenstein makes a similar point about halakha, reflecting his father-in-law for sure. If, however, we recognize that halakha is multiplanar and many-dimensional, that properly conceived, it includes much more than is explicitly required or permitted by specific rules, we should realize that the ethical moment we are seeking is itself an aspect of halakha. The demand, or if you will, the impetus for transcending the din is itself part of the halachic corpus. And this is the apparent paradox, that lifnim mishurat ha-din isn't actually beyond the law, it is the law. And we need to ask, well, can they force you? You know, you're meant to be an ethical person. Is this meant to be just your own inclinations? And if you get it wrong, then chaval. Or can the Beis Din actually say, I'm sorry, you have to do this? Yeah, but like, is that technically required? No, but it's you have to do it. You had a question?
It's not a question. It's more of a comment. I'm reading Rabbi Wein's latest book that was just out about mentors and the greatness of the
rebellion.
Right. I think that one of the most important aspects of these mentors was specifically to do yosha.
Right.
In a level that we don't have.
Right, yeah, I absolutely right. To just repeat the question there, Rabbi Wein talks about his mentors, and they taught him not as much the technical what to do and not to do, but the dugma, the example of understanding that we're going beyond the law, being a mensch, being an ethical person requires more than what is required by halakha. There's a story that they tell of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky when he was in Russia, and somebody came to him and said the non-Jewish postmaster gave him the wrong change. He gave them, I don't know, a 20 equivalent dollar bill, and he gave him change for a 50. What should he do? So he said, well, technically you can keep it, like it's a tarzgoy. You don't have a chiv of a Shabbos Aveda. But I think you should take it back, because it's the right thing to do. Okay? And then he started getting other reports from people in the town that they got the wrong change from the postmaster. And he made the declaration that anyone who gets the wrong change has to give it back. And it turns out the postmaster was checking who is honest in the town and who is dishonest. And he came to the conclusion, the only honest people in the town are the Jews. Because they're the ones who give the change back when you give them the wrong change. And who knows what that can do? Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. You know, the end of the story is, and then the guy, you know, told when the Nazis were coming. I don't know if that's the end of this story. But that can be the end of that story. That's the point here. Interestingly, just quickly, in Dvarim chapter 12, it's flipped. It says, Ki ta'ase hatov v'hayashar. Hatov v'hayashar. And Rav Hirsch says an interesting thing. He suggests hatov v'hayashar means do what the halacha says, but make sure it's the right thing to do, like we've been saying. You know, just because the halacha says it's the right, is okay, still be a yashar. And then hayashar v'hatov, He says, and also if you want to do the right thing in life, make sure it's okay by the halacha. You can't just say, well, I want to be a good person and I'll do it my way. You have to have both. You have to have it technically permitted and also the right thing to do, not just one or the other. Yes, sir?
It seems to me that when you read this paragraph, it leaves a lot of room for judgment.
Yes, 100%.
And therefore, how do we know what's right and good and God?
Well, this is the latest point over there. You need examples. You need people to give you... How do people get seichel in life? So you might turn around and say, nobody has any seichel anymore. Okay, how do you get seichel? You get seichel by people telling you that this is right, this is wrong, this is the way to behave. You're 100% right. But that's what we've kind of lost a little bit. We think that the way to be a halachic Jew is to look everything up in a book and ask a shaila to everyone. And you have people running around like following Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and asking him all these millions and millions of shailas and recorded, yes, no, yes, no, no. Well, you can work that out in any way. Seichel. There's no seichel. Okay, it's great to ask shailas. You have to ask shailas. You can't just make stuff up. But you're right. It leaves a lot of room for one's own discretion. But that's how it is. That's how you're meant to develop. If you never had any room for your own discretion, you'd always just be a black and white sort of simple figure that's asking shailas and doing nothing from themselves. Right. Let's have a look at some halakhic applications of this. The first one is a simple and discreet one, which is the Dinah de Bar Metzra. The Dinah de Bar Metzra is a halacha that we see in the Gemara. The Rambam brings the halacha here, number 19, Bala'od, ala hamocheh karka. If you're going to sell land, karka shela, la'acher, you sell land to someone else, yesh lechaveru shehu betzad hametzar shela liten damim lelokeach. Your immediate neighbor has the, what we call it in English law, an option. He has a buyback option or a buy option. He can pay money to the purchaser and he can get that land for himself. Ulesalekoto, to remove the land from the purchaser. Ze'alokeach arachok, and this purchaser is ke'ilu hu shaliach shel ben hametzar. It's as if he's only acting as the shaliach. So I own number 32. And the owner of number 34 has been wanting to buy my property, for my property so he can expand his house. He wants a bigger garden, he wants a bigger house. And I know this, but you know, I sell it to someone completely different from a different city who offers me a good price. The neighbor has the right under halacha to go and require the buyer of the land to sell it to him for that price. Even though I never meant to sell it to him, I meant to sell it to some other guy, my friend in the other city. Nevertheless, my neighbor, even my neighbor who I don't particularly like very much, has the right to buy that land back. Afilo hayalokeach talmid chacham. Even if the buyer that I wanted to send to is a talmid chacham, the shachein, or a neighbor, not an immediate neighbor, but like someone who lives in the neighborhood, the karav, or one of my relatives, yeah, I'm selling it to my cousin Shmulek. No, it doesn't help. And the next door neighbor is a nudnik. I'm selling him my land. He's an amaretz. Rachak ben hametzah koydem. Rachak, and he's distant in many ways. Ben hametzah koydem. He takes priority. Umasalik et alocher. He can get the land out of the purchaser. V'davazem yishum shenemar v'asita yashav atoiv. Meaning, what, you behave that way? The neighbor can make so much better use of this land in his own property than some other person who's buying it for an investment ultimately. They can really make a lot of it. Since it should be all the same to you, why do you care? You're getting $50,000 or whatever it is. Either way, halavai, you could buy a house for $50,000, okay? It's appropriate that you sell it to your neighbor, okay? Straightforward. What about the issue of pshara? So when you go to Beis Din, I don't know who here has ever been to Beis Din, but when my wife runs a business, and then once or twice there's been a discussion in Beis Din, and the Beis Din will say to you, do you want a din? Do you want us to paskin? You think he owes you $10,000. And the other one says he owes you nothing. Do you want a din? You're right, or you're right? And then one goes out happy, and one goes out very unhappy. Or do you want a pshara, which is...
Both
go out unhappy, but like somehow or other, you know something, it's never black and white. It's never black and white. Yeah, but it's absolutely clear the guy owes me the money. No, what you said was ambiguous, and it's, you know, could have understood it this way, could have understood it that way. Maybe the answer is like 7,000, 6,000, whatever. Look in number 20. Rabbi Yishuv ben Korcha Omer, mitzvah litzora. It's a mitzvah to make a compromise. Shneimah, emes u'mishpat shalom shofte b'sharecha. You have to do mishpat shalom. Ah, ba'aloi b'makom sheyesh mishpat ein shalom. If there's mishpat, there's no shalom. You know, people are still very unhappy with each other. Ubamakam she shalom, and if you try and make shalom a mishpat, then it's not really fair. Ela ezu mishpat sheyesh bo shalom. What is mishpat and shalom combined, as it says in Zechariah, Haviyom ezebitzua. That's fine in Pshara. V'chein be David, so too with David, who Omer says in Shmuel, v'hi David ose mishpat utztaka. Same idea, mishpat utztaka. Sorry, I just missed it. I've got the wrong glasses on. You can see that my glass is broken in America, so I'm wearing something that kind of half works and half doesn't. When it's mishpat, there's no staka or staka in mishpat. And therefore, the Gemara brings there in 21 that the Beis Din will say, "I'm a rab halacha." This is the halacha. You have to find this sweet spot. Mitzvah lemeimer elohu. You have to say to the litigants, "Idina ba'isu." Do you want a psak? You're right. You're wrong. Ipshara beisu. Or do you want a pshara? And pshara is also the mitzvah of v'hasita hayashavato, because that might be the fair result. Everyone goes out unhappy. Okay. When you think about it, that's how it works. Okay. Good. Another example. Forgoing money. Number 22, Gemara Megillah. Shalu Talmidav et Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana. Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana lived to a very ancient age, very old age, and they asked him, B'mahe rachta yamim? What's your secret? Like, they always in the paper, they interview these, like, people 112 years old, you know? What's the secret of your 112-year-old life? And then they all come up with one of the best I ever saw was they asked this fellow who's like 113. They said, "What's the best thing about being 113? He said, "No peer pressure." I thought that was the best. That was the best answer. Okay. So, but what's the secret? Everyone wants to know what's the secret. Amalehem, he said to them, "Listen, this is my secret. Vatran b'mamoyni hayiti. I was mavatar on my money. I didn't insist on my rights." The Amamar, because we see Eov, Job, Vatran b'mamoyni hava. What's one of his merits is he was a vatran on his money. What did he do? Shehayamaniach pruta lechen v'ni mimamoyni. He would give a pruta. What was wrong giving a pruta? Rashi explains that if you had a din that you owed somebody a half a pruta, let's say somebody came and did a tiny little job for me. They fixed a tiny thing in my house. Then how much do I owe you? Half a pruta. So it could say, well, I'm not giving you a pruta. I mean, it's twice the amount that I owe you. Let's go to the baker. Let's buy a bread roll worth a pruta, and I'll take half, and you'll take half, and that's your half a pruta. Perfectly within your rights to do that. Really? Give the guy a pruta and say, forget the change. Don't worry about the change. So that's my secret. That's Ayasha Vatoif. It's like going to Target or wherever you go and you buy something and you buy a computer. It costs $699.99. And you give them $700 bills and then you stand there. Where's the change? They go, "We don't have any cents." I don't even think they make them anymore. "We don't have any cents." And they said, "What do you mean you don't have any cents? If you ripped off every customer 1 cent, do you know how many millions of dollars you're going to be ripping off the pub?" And he's absolutely right. But then there's this whole line of people standing there saying, this Jew's asking for his penny. You know, that's not the right thing to do. On the other hand, if you buy something for, $90, and you give them $100, and they say, "I'm sorry, we have no change." Okay, that's $10. I mean, that's real money. I mean, you don't have to be a friar. But you have to judge when is it right and when is it not right. I don't know what. Maybe when Bill Gates walks into the shop, $10 for him is a yashavat haiva. I don't need the $10. He doesn't need $1 million. Okay, so you're saying that's how he did it. Yeah, fine. But maybe it's different, and we'll see in a minute. That's actually going to be very relevant. The Rambam paskens that a Talmid Chacham is obligated to do this. Look at 24. Masa amakna shel Talmid Chacham. How should a Talmid Chacham do business? The emes uba emuna, omer alav lav. He has to say no, and he has to mean no. The alhein hein, and he has to say yes, and he means yes. No spielerei. Medakdek alatzbo becheshbon. He's very particular to pay what he absolutely owes to other people. The noisein umavata lachem. He gives and he foregoes. Don't need the change. Kishyikach mehem alo yedakdek alem. He's not insistent on getting what he needs. Noisein de meha mikach la alta. He pays immediately. Then he's chayv alo acherim bedin, ma'arech ha-moichel lahem, he's moichel people. And who is a Talmid Chacham? For the Rambam's Hilchot De'ot, a Talmid Chacham is any individual Jew who represents Torah to the general public. someone who people look at them and say, that's how an Orthodox Jew acts, that's how a Torah Jew acts. So it's not just a Talmid Chacham, in the sense of a very wise and learned person, but it's also anyone who represents the Jewish community. Okay, so let's spend a few more minutes on Lifnim Mishuras Hadin. So what does it mean, Lifnim Mishuras Hadin? So I always had a question about this. It doesn't sound like it's within. It sounds, we usually mean it's beyond, and going beyond the letter of the law. So I saw, I heard rather, Ilana Steinheim, Dr. Ilana Steinheim, who teaches in America, I think, she talks about this. She talks about momentous issues a lot. She had a very interesting dissertation about the issue of ha'arama, when you, quote-unquote, loopholes in Jewish law. They're not really loopholes. But she mentioned the following in the name of some professor. I don't remember. But it means, lifnim meshuras hadin means, I don't go right up to the line of what I'm entitled to. I allow things before my absolute rights. Which in the sense that what's beyond the letter of the law really means, I'm not insisting on everything that I'm entitled to. And that's why it means lifnim mishurat hadin. According to the shurat hadin, this line, I could insist on this, but I'm stopping before that and I'm not insisting on that. I think that's actually a very sensible idea. It makes a lot of sense. It also helps you understand the word of an aveira. You're over mishurat hadin. You passed, you went over the letter of the law in a way which is wrong. You crossed the line. You're not allowed to cross a line. And we talk about lifnim Mishurat Adin in all sorts of theological contexts. We daven that God should go lifnim Mishurat Adin and judge us not according to the strict din. The world, the Medrash says, God was going to create the world according to din, but then he didn't in the end create the world according to din, but he went lifnim Mishurat Adin and creating the world according to Rachamim, so we have to copy God. So part of the mitzvah of being lifnim Mishurat Adin is to copy the way that God runs the world, which is not Mishurat Hadin. And therefore we have a number of very interesting examples, of which I want to quote three or four, each of which gives us a somewhat ambiguous conclusion. And that's why I think this is so interesting. And it leaves it to some degree up to us to try and work out, well, what's the right answer here? Look at number 25. Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Yossi have a ka'azal ba'orcha. Rabbi Yishmael, the son of Rabbi Yossi, was walking down the street. Paga be'hahu gavra. He met a guy. And he was carrying bundles of twigs. He was a schlepper. He was schlepping twigs to the market to sell the twigs. He sat down to adjust his load, okay, and he took a rest. Amalei, and he said to Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Yossi, when he was picking the stuff up, Dalili, help me pick up my stuff and load up. The mitzvah of Ti'ina, you see somebody who's having trouble loading up his load, it's a mitzvah to intervene. Now Rabbi Yishmael but Rabbi Yossi is potter from this mitzvah. He's exempt, why? Because he's a sage, he's maybe very old, he's a Talmid Chacham. It's lo lefi kvodo, that's a heter. It's not according to his cover to schlep and carry. It's like asking your grandma, schlep, bring in the shopping from the car. It's not according to his cover. So Amalei, so he says to him, Kama Shavin, tell me, how much is the whole thing worth? Amalei said, Pargit a zuzah, half a zuz. It's significant money. It's not half a fruta, it's half a zuz. It's money. So what happens? Yadle Pargit a zuzah. So Rabbi Shmuel gives him a half a zuz and says, there, you've done your day's work, leave the twigs and take the money and be happy. I pay for the whole thing rather than loading on. So what happens? The Afkare, Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi doesn't need all these twigs, so he makes the hafka and he just leaves them by the side of the road. So what happens next? Hadazakabahu, so the schlepper has a bright idea. He goes and picks them up, because they're hafka. So he picks them up, the Hadayak, and he says to him, now, help me up with the twigs. So he looks at him, Hadayavle Pagazuzza. He gives him another half zuz, says, I'll buy them. The Afkare, and he makes them hafka again. Chazir, the Rabbi Yishmael, the Rabbi Yossi saw to have a kaboyin mahadad the mazakabu. He was about to go back and get them again. It could be this all day. Do this all day. You know what they say? Fool me, shame on you. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Rabbi Yishmael feels he's being a friar. He's being taken for a friar now. So he was good, about to get them again. So Amalei says to him, Lekula alma afkarinu, I've made them hefka for everybody in the whole world. Velachloi afkarinu, and I haven't made them hefka for you. Which the Gemara then goes on to say doesn't really work in halacha, but he was just pushing him off, basically saying, leave me alone. Ah, Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yosi zaken de'ein l'fi kvoid ha'hava. But didn't Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yosi have a heter? He had a patur. He didn't need to give him any money. He just could say, no, I'm not helping you, I'm potter. Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yosi lifnim mishuras adin hu da'ava. He was going lifnim mishuras adin. Okay? He didn't need to give him the money, he gave him the money. But you're left with this interesting question that, did he do the right thing, giving him the money? I mean, what if the guy actually wanted to go to the market? What if his wife told him he has to go buy stuff? What if he likes schmoozing with the people he sells? That's his day. He sells twigs to everybody. He schmoozes with this one, schmoozes with this one. And Rabbi Yishmael just kind of swoops in and says, yeah, Potter, I'm helping you. He didn't ask for that. You can help people the way you feel they should be helped, but not the way they want to be helped. It's on the one hand, he seems like he's a swindler, this schlepper. On the other hand, you are left with a question that, well, is that necessarily the way to help people without asking them how they want to be helped? And it's not totally clear how this works. Similarly, number 26, Rabba Barbar Hanan Tavrelei Hanhu Shekuli Chavita Dechamra. Rabba Barbar Hanan was moving, and there were schleppers, professional movers, moving his barrels of wine. It's not a bottle of wine. It's a barrel of wine. It costs thousands and thousands of dollars. And they smashed it. They dropped it. And it smashed and spilt. So he says, you owe me money. This is crazy. So what did he do? Shakal glamayu. He took their coats as collateral. He says, until we get to the base then, and we work out how much you owe me, I'm taking these coats. Thank you very much. Also, Amar Rav. They went to complain to Rav, who was the guy. Amalei, he said to him, Havlehu glamayu. Give them their coats back. So Amalei, so Rabba Barbar Hanan said to Rav, Dina hachi? That's the halacha? That's the din? Now, there's a girsa difference here. Amalei, he said to him, and according to some girsas, in, yes, that's the din, which is very interesting, because we'll see that might mean the Beis Din can actually force people to do this. Some girsas don't have in. It's just that he said to him, he quotes a portion from Mishlei, Leman teilech b'derech toivim. You should go, you should be a good person. Be a mensch. Okay, is that a halacha? Is that just advice? And Rashi says, Lifnim Mishur Sadin? No, that's Lifnim Mishur Sadin. We saw already a Talmud Chacham has to go Lifnim Mishur Sadin. So he's telling him, yeah, for you, you have to, according to Rashi. Yad Leit Lamahi, okay, he gives the coats back. Amrulei said, now the chutzpah. The schleppers come and say to Rav, Ani Anam, we're very poor people. The Tarchin and Kulayuma, we've been schlepping all day. The kaifina, and we're hungry. The leislan midi, and we have no money. So Amalei, so Rav says to Rabba Barbar Hanan, zil havar grayhu, give them their money. Are you joking? Not only do I not keep the collateral, but I now have to pay for the work that the movers made, and they broke my, you know, they dropped my grand piano off the roof and smashed it to pieces, equivalent. So do I have to give them the money? Amalei said, dinachi? Is that halacha? Amalei, and he says to him, again, maybe yes, maybe not yes, but he says to him, the end of the pasuk, for orchas tzadikim tishmor, you have to be a tzadik. You have to be a tzadik. So Rashi understands this is lifnim mishuras hadin at work, that the Beis Din is saying to him, yet maybe someone else, we wouldn't rule this way, but you, sorry, give him the coats back, give him the money, that's how you have to be. You have to be the tzadik here. You're Rabba Barbar Hanan. You're not just a stammer person. Tosfos jumps in here and says, nah, come on, that's already way above and way beyond. Look in number 27. So Tosfos says, Besoiv perika umnim, gabi rabba barbar hunan, slightly different name, the shaklahu glamayhu vahanhu shakuli. Okay? They have to give him the money. Maisi, and there the Rav brings, lama'an telech b'derech tovim. The Yeshlama, I'm going to suggest, he says, the bahanhu shkulai, these schleppers, Lo shayich lifnim mishuras adin. That's not called lifnim mishuras adin. Kevin she'asaloi hezek gadol. The pshia. They were negligent. It wasn't just an unfortunate incident. They were they're professional schleppers. And they broke his barrel and smashed his wine. That's not called lifnim mishuras adin. They caused him real hezek. She'shivro loy chavish al yayin. But what Rav is telling him is like another level beyond. So there's the din. According to Tosfos, there's lifnim mishuras adin that some people have to do, maybe, and some people don't have to do. And then there's just the, you know, be a big kiddush Hashem, be a big tzaddik, you know, leman yelchu be'orchas tzaddikim, be a super, super duper person. And that may depend on whether the girsa is in or not in. Because according to Rashi, it makes more sense that he's saying, yes, this is the din, you have to go lifni mishrus hadin. But according to Tosfos, it makes more sense that he didn't say, yes, this is the din. He just said, you should do this. Maybe even beyond that as well. Look at number 28. Again, we're left with this slightly ambiguous question. Number 28 is very interesting. Rav Yehuda have a shakel va'azil basrei demar Shmuel v'shukah debeit gaisa. Rav Yehuda was walking behind his teacher, Shmuel, in the marketplace, a big, big marketplace. Amalei, and he said to him, Matzakan arniki mahu, what if we found a wallet here? In the middle, full of money, in the middle of the seething marketplace. Amalei, he said to him, Hari el shaloi, find his keepers. Why are you allowed to keep the wallet?
Because it's
Hefker. Because it's Yish. There's Yish. Nobody in their right mind, you drop your wallet in Times Square on New Year's Eve or whatever, you know. Hundreds of thousands of people, who in their right mind thinks they're going to get the money back? So if you find the wallet, you can keep the wallet. That's the halacha. There's Yish. You're assumed to have Yish. It's such a public place. Okay, good. So then he says, "By Yisrael v'nasim lo simen mahu." But what if a Jew comes up to me, sees me holding the wallet, says, "Look, says my name, Chaim Goldberg, my phone number. It's my wallet. What do you have to do? Mahu, what's the halacha?" Amalei, chayev lahachzir. You have to give it back. Well, that's a bit strange. Because if you have to give it back, why did he first tell him that he could just keep it? Why didn't he tell him, well, look, see if there's a simon. If there's a simon, you have to try and find, call the number, call Chaim Goldberg, see if he's there. He didn't tell him. He told him you can keep it. And now he tells him, oh, you have to hand it back. Chayev, what does chayev mean? Chayev means chayev halachically. Well, chayev be de shamayim. It's the right thing to do. So he asked him, so he said to him, tarte? How do these both go together? Tarti means both. Both. First you tell me I can keep it, then you tell me I have to give it back. Meaning, halakhically you could keep it. But like, really? That's the right thing to do? Yes, I'm saying, another case. Someone drops a pen in the sea on a cruise. It's the gold pen they got for their bar mitzvah. And it says to Moshe on his bar mitzvah, with love. Yeah? So it drops off the boat. So he's lost it. It's gone. It's in the Mediterranean. He's not finding it. 4 days later, I'm walking down the beach in Tel Aviv and it washes up. To Moshe with love, you know. And I said, fine, it's my pen. Moshe lives next door. I can say, hey, no, Moshe, thanks for the pen. It's my pen. I don't have to give it back. Halakhically, it's mine. But that's the way to behave. That's not the way to behave. Lifnei Mishrus Hadin. Ki had Avu D'Shmuel, he brings the case of Avu D'Shmuel, which is Shmuel's father, very interesting. Eshkach Hanik Chamrid Mibara, he found these donkeys wandering in the desert. V'hadrinu L'marahu L'basa Treisa Yarchishata, and he kept them for 12 months, which is again not the halacha. Once you have a piece of lost property, which is costing you more than the value of the property itself, you don't have any obligation to pay more than the value of the property in order to look after it. Donkeys are not that expensive. I bet you can go down to some shuk in somewhere and buy a group of donkeys for very little money. And he's got to feed them for 12 months. But he did. Lifnei Mishrus Hadin. That's how he did it. Another case. Third line at the end. Rav Ahavashakel V'Azel V'Asrei to Rav Nachman. Almost identical case, but a different generation. Rava was walking behind his Rebbe Rav Nachman. B'shukah d'gadloi, d'galdoi, excuse me, v'amrei b'shukah d'rabbonon. Which shuk it was, it's debated, but it's a big shuk. Amalei says to him, Matzakan arnaki mahu, what if we found a wallet full of money here? Amalei said to him, Arei shaloi, you can keep it. Ah, by Yisrael v'nasim by Simon mahu, what if a Jew comes up and says, look, it's my name? Amalei said to him, Hariel Shalai, I told you, you could keep it. You can keep it. I said you could keep it, you can keep it. Ah, but the guy's screaming at me, my name, it's my name, it's my number. Ring the number, call the number, you'll see it's my phone is going to ring. And there's $3,000 in the wallet. You can keep it. Why can you keep it? So it says, Na sekit savech al beis shenafal. It's like someone who's screaming as the house falls down in an earthquake, and they're screaming, it's not happening, it's not happening. Or his ship is sinking in the sea, all his money's being lost. I'm not Miyayish. Come on. All your shipments in the bottom of the ocean. Of course you're Miyayish. No, I'm going to hire, you know, someone to salvage to crew to get it back. No, you're not. It's gone. It's finished. So someone drops a wallet in the middle of the shuk like that. So why is that different cases? In the first example, he said, you can keep it. Ah, but if the guy comes, you should give it back. Lifnei Mishrus Hadin. And in the second case, he says, you can keep it. And if the guy comes, you can keep it. Why? What's the difference? So in one case, he said, it's appropriate to go lifnei mishrus hadin. In the second case, he says, you don't need to go lifnei mishrus hadin. So what's the difference? Because it's all contextual. What happens if the guy who lost the wallet was very poor. And the guy who found the wallet was very rich. And he says, nah, it's a messiah. This is how I got wealthy. And he says, no, that's not appropriate. The guy's lost his wallet. Give him his wallet back. He needs the money. What happens? He flip it. The guy who lost the money is very, very wealthy. And the guy who found the money is the poor guy. It's a messiah. This is going to mamash save his life. And the halacha is he doesn't have to give it back. You're going to tell him he has to give it back. He found thousands of dollars. It's going to change his whole family. It's going to change his whole life. And the rich guy won't even miss it. And halachically, he can keep it. There's a lifnei mishurat hadin there. It's hard to say you have to give it back. Well, that's called a metziah. And you ever have, oh, it's a metziah. A metziah is a good thing, no? So sometimes you have to give it back, and sometimes you don't have to give it back. Again, it's sort of ambiguous situation. I must tell you, my son, when he was about 10 or 11, lost his wallet. I think my parents had given him a 100 shekel note, which is still money, and certainly was money. But he had a wallet, and never, he lost it at the kotel. You know, on Chol HaMoed. It was mamash heaving with people. And he was crying, he was upset, I lost the money, grandparents gave him, da 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 da. So he said, it's okay. I gave him another 100 shekel note and said, it's fine, don't tell grandma and grandpa that, you know, it's fine, here's another 100 shekels, you can spend it. But I'm kidding. We got a phone call about 3 days later from the police. Is this Asher Manning? I'm thinking, oh, hey, what's my son done? The police are after him. You know, Hilltop Youth, I don't know what he's done. Someone had handed in the wallet. Somebody had found the money in the middle of the kaisa. This is not just the stanshuk. This is the kotel, full of beautiful Jewish people that found the money. And he handed the money back to him. Of course, he didn't give me the other 100 shekel back. It's a metziah. So, okay, fine. So that's why he's successful in life. Baruch Hashem. Okay, what's the halacha? Look at 29. Says the Shulchan Aruch. Afa pishim in adin b'makom shiroi v'odik kachav v'mitzuyim. Afilu nasan Yisrael b'asim and eilu chayv lachzir. Even though it's a place, it's a shuk full of non-Jewish people, there's no obligation to give it back. It's meyayish. You don't have to give it back. Toiv v'yashar. Toiv v'yashar. La'asoyt lifnim shuras adin. What does toiv v'yashar mean? The right thing to do, to give it back. Lachzili Yisrael shenatan b'asim. And if a Jew comes and he gives a simon, it's clearly his. It's Toiva Yashar. But Toiva Yashar sounds like it's up to you. He doesn't say Chayev. He doesn't say even Nachom. He says Toiva Yashar, which might mean that it's a voluntary thing. And in fact, this is a machlokas in the Rishonim, whether the Beis Din can force the person to go lifnei mishuras hadin. And according to many of the Ashkenazi Rishonim, the Ra'avan, the Ravya, the Beis Din can force the person to go lifnei mishuras hadin. According to many of the Sephardi poskim, including the Rosh, and you're going to tell me the Rosh is an Ashkenazi posik, but that's not really true. He's really a Sephardi posik as well. It's they passing that you, Rabbeinu Chananel, certainly, you do not have to. It's a choice to give it back. And if you see when the Ramah brings the halacha, the Shulchan Aruch sounds like it's a choice. Number 30, Ein Beit Din Yicholin Lechayv Likanis Lifnei Mishuras Hadin. First of all, the Ramah brings down that the Beis Din cannot force someone to give it back if it's not halakhically required. Afal pi shenir lehem shehu min haraui. Even though the Beis Din feel that this is appropriate. V'yesh cholkim. But others say no. The Beis Din can force. Lifnei Mishuras Hadin is part of the halakhic process.
The one before.
Yes.
You don't have to give it back to Oved Kochavim, only to the Jew.
That's a different thing. You can give it back to the non-Jew if you think it's going to make a Kiddush Hashem. Okay, that's different. But you don't. Certainly, there's no Hayasha v'Hatoy because Avedas Akum is mutter to keep. Again, you can decide if it's going to be a Chilul Hashem, you have to give it back. Yes, correct. But that's the halacha. If it's going to be a Kiddush Hashem, you should give it back. If it's going to be a Chilul Hashem, you must give it back. But it's not the same Hashavas Aveda. It's not the same thing. I once put a pound coin into a machine to get a chocolate bar in the train station in England. And he gave me 2 chocolate bars. By mistake, the machine just went wrong. So I called the Rav and said, you know, what should I do? He says, what are you going to do? You know, it's a Shabbos Aveda. You don't have a din to give me back. It's not a Jewish-owned thing. You have to start calling them up. And even if you call them up, they're going to think you're Meshuggah. Hi, I have another chocolate bar. Well, what do you want us to do with that? So he said, just eat it, be happy. So it's a Metziah there. So there's no Chilul Hashem, there's no Kiddush Hashem. Hi, I'm an Orthodox Jew, I'd like you to take my bar back. You know, I'm just a nudnik. OK, Okay, fine. And if you look in number 31 and 32, it says it all depends. Why is it sometimes yes, sometimes no? Again, if the person who found it is poor and the person who lost it is rich, and there's no halakhic obligation. Obviously, if there's a halakhic obligation, the poor person has to give it back, of course. Doesn't matter that he says, oh, it would have changed my whole life. No, you found it, you know, in the hall here in Beit Knesset HaNasi. Of course there's a halakhic obligation to give it back, even if you're poor. But if you found it in the shuk, you found it at the bottom of the sea, washed up on the beach, whatever. So that's different. And then it depends on the case. Let's just finish off with an idea in Midot, the idea of moderation in Midot, which the Rambam is famous for, but not just him. There's a pasuk in Kohelet, number 33. Levad re'eze matzati. I found the following, says Kohelet. Asher asa ha'elukim et ha'adam yashar. God makes people straight. The Hema Bikshu Chishbonot Rabin, and they become crooked. They make all the Shpilarai and Tachbulot, they mess it all up. And the Mitzvot David there says, this is the idea that in all Midot you should try to find a way which is Yashar. Don't be extreme this way, don't be extreme that way. Be a person who is a normaler mensch. He doesn't use that expression, but basically a balanced person. This is a posuk in Kohelet. Okay, there's a question about ka'as, anger. Can a person, the Rambam there says, everything you should be balanced, but anger, you shouldn't be balanced. You have to never get angry. But there, the Mefarshim say, but sometimes you have to at least pretend to get angry. Because if you're completely, if it was a walkover, then people will take advantage of you. But you should not actually be angry. But in all things, you should really be as much as you can a balanced person. And I think that's also an application. So we've seen a lot here. We could have seen even more. But I think this is an interesting mitzvah that has a lot of applications. And hopefully we can put that into practice. I wish everybody a Chag Sameach, a good Yom Tov, and a good Shabbos. And please God, we will meet next week.